comments one more time. We started, and I think we got the first question, but I'm going to go over it. I find, I don't know what your experience is, I find that when I go back and I read the Baal HaMor and the Ramban again, everything becomes clearer and clearer in the sense that the issues that the first time we read through, which weren't as clear to me, sort of start to come into focus as you read it again. I've told you this many times. If you get stuck on a Tosfos, you know, you go through it once, you go through it twice, you go through it three times. When you come back to it a day or two later after you read it again, it becomes much clearer because even where there are problems, you know exactly what the focus of the problems is. So in fact, in that light, let me just let me talk about the Baal HaMor for a moment, just to review what his shita was and see where the Ramban is coming from, which we would do anyway if we're reading the Ramban. So the Baal HaMor wants to make the following claim. There's a machlokas between two brises whether Chayreshes has Tainis Pesulim and Kanas, and the way the Baal HaMor sees it is that it's across the board. In other words, the first brisa holds Yesh La Tainis Pesulim Yesh La Kanas, that is Rashi's Girsa, and the second brisa says nobody, and I know of, has the Girsa of Ein La Kanas. It just has Ein La Tainis Pesulim. But the Baal HaMor also assumes, which is a big chiddush, and Ramban goes after him on this in particular, Ein La Kanas. Why does the Baal HaMor do that? Because the Baal HaMor assumes that there's a machlokas, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, whether or not a besula, whether a woman, or maybe better said, whether Chereshes has a cheskas, chazaka de gufa being a besula. The way the Baal HaMor presents it is whether or not chazaka de gufa is relevant. And he doesn't really distinguish between Chereshes and otherwise. And the truth be told, when you have a machlokas from a Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, in terms of when the cheskas hakuf is relevant, by what type of a woman are they talking about? When they argued originally, what kind of a woman were they talking about? A regular woman. In other words, they were arguing when a man marries a regular woman, and he says, Pesach Pasuch Matzasi, or he's got sheets with no blood on them. And she says, Mukaseitzani Tachtecha, or Misherastani Nenasti, so we believe her according to Rabbi Gamliel because the Chazaka de Gufa, and Rabbi Yeshua doesn't care about the Chazaka de Gufa, we don't believe her. That is what that's what the Gemara says. So the Baal HaMor is now saying here that Rabbi Gamliel believes in the Chazaka de Gufa, and therefore, when you rape a girl, she gets a knas because she's assumed to be a psula. When you marry a girl, you're entitled to assume that she's a psula, and therefore she's not, you have a tainus psulim. Now he's saying this by, again, the context here is Chayreshes. Rabbi Yeshua believes that she doesn't have a Chazaka de Gufa. Now, I don't know what he means by that, because clearly women are born Becheskes Pesula, even according to Rabbi Yeshua. That's kind of a fact. But he says, because she's not Becheskes Pesula, the Cheskes Pesula doesn't really tell you anything. But it's like there was no Chazaka. So number one, there is no Knas by the Chayreshes. Number two, there is no tainus pesulim. You have no right to complain, and you have to pay a ksuba at least of 100 because you had no right. And if you wrote to our X, you may have to pay the full ksuba, as the Ramban himself will say, because you had no reason to expect that she was going to be a pesula. The problem we have in this entire discussion, is that by knas, what's the real problem for the Baal HaMor? By knas, why is there a difference between a chayreshes and a regular woman? What's that?
Because
Chereshes
and a regular woman.
Yeah. And the Baal HaMor doesn't spell it out. We gave the answer in Shir.
Chereshes can appeal to her Chazaka de Guf, and our invading's appeal to it isn't good enough.
Well, I'm asking a different question. For Rabbi Yeshua, you marry a regular woman. He agrees, yesh tainus pesulim. But by a Chereshes, ain la tainus pesulim. Why? What's the difference? If the assumption is the expectation that she is a psula, she isn't a psula, why is a chayreshes less likely to be a psula, Mati?
Because that before they got married, presumably by her not saying anything, or maybe she even said, I'm psula. So that then creates, I guess, an assumption in his mind.
Correct. In other words, there are all sorts of... that's correct. That's what we said. That by a regular woman who gets married, her silence speaks volumes. A chayreshes who gets married, her silence speaks nothing. She can't speak. Normally, the chayreshes from Rome is ainu shamas ve'ainu medaber. So the chayreshes, her silence doesn't say anything. Therefore, when you marry, there are all sorts of reasons why a woman could not be a psula. It's not a majority, but nonetheless, there could be mukaseitz, there could be nensa, all sorts of things. And her failure to say anything by a psula, by a pikachas, its silence speaks volumes. By a chayreshes, it says nothing. So Rabbi Yoshua says that when you marry a besula and she says nothing, of course you have tainus besulim. Of course you have tainus besulim because She, you expected her to be a psula. There was an implicit claim on her behalf before you got married that she was a psula. Okay, a chayreshes, you have no such claim. Because the fact that she was silent doesn't mean you should have known. It's very possible she's not going to be a psula. Now, here's the problem. Knas is the much trickier part. The Baal HaMor seems to take it that a chayreshes is not entitled to knas. Now, this has nothing to do with tos or not. But is not entitled to knas because she's not b'cheska, her chazaka, a cheskas being besula, cheskas akuf doesn't work for Rabbi Yoshua. For Rabbi Gamliel, the cheskas akuf does work. And therefore, a chereshes is entitled to knas, unless the boel presumably could prove that she wasn't. The question for Rabbi Yoshua, for the Baal HaMor, firstly, for Rabban Gamliel, how does the Cheskas Besulim work? Well, let me say, the question is for Rabbi Yoshua. For Rabbi Yoshua, how does a Pikachas collect the Knas by Ones? After all, if there is no such thing as a cheskas haguf for Rabbi Yoshua, if there is no such thing as a cheskas haguf, so for Rabbi Yoshua, why does her taina help? After all, what's that? Well, that is presumably what you're going to have to say, but if you think about the cases of Rabbi Yoshua in the Mishnah, she's a bari also, Mishar Stani Nanasti. And she loses according to Rabbi Yoshua.
So I asked something. Is the right that says he's never really going to pay attention to whether she's a Masula or not, so he's never going to come for the...
Right. So I'm very unhappy about that, but...
I was unhappy about it, too, and you said I shouldn't be unhappy about it.
I think everybody should be happy. That's why we need to sing. All right. But I want something... Is there a difference, is what I'm asking. I told you, each time I think it through, I have more thoughts about it. Is there a difference? I think Jacob's correct. But what's the difference then? There's a tiny story also by Mishra Stani Nanasti. The difference is, in one case, the chazaka was Isra. In other words, by a tainus besulim, where Rabbi Yeshua doesn't accept the bari, right? Achatavi raya ledvareha, it's because there was no blood on the sheet. That was Isra cheskasa. It turns out she wasn't the besulim that got married. But by the ones, who cares? There's no Isra cheskasa. If she had a chazaka of being a besula, and she says bari, said yes, I was a besula, and he has there's no evidence that she wasn't the besula, then even there Rabbi Yoshua would remove it. Yeah. And the Ramban's going to have a problem with that in a moment.
It's not what the Baal HaMor is saying.
What?
The Baal HaMor is not saying that Isra has kasa. Baal HaMor is saying she never had a cheskas haguf.
Okay, so I know, I agree with you. So what really, but Jacob said, really, what does it? What does it for Rabbi Yoshua? The bari. Right? In other words, you're saying that you're highlighting exactly Ramban's question. That the cheskas haguf is useless. The cheskas haguf is useless according to Rabbi Yeshua the way the Baal HaMor presents it. She's not becheskas besula any more than she is ba'ula. Why does she win? Because she's a tainas bari. What about the chayreshas? She doesn't have a tainas bari. She doesn't have a tainas bari. So
Ramban's question can't be, what is the cheskas haguf do? So Rabbi Yoshua doesn't do anything.
Well,
the tainus bari does everything.
Yeah.
So his question is on Rabban Gamliel, not Rabbi Yoshua.
Hold on. Hold on. Yeah, go.
I'm a little confused. You're saying that she doesn't have a cheskas haguf versus the kalfa who does have a cheskas haguf.
No. No, that can't be. The whole point is that either one is
a
scope. The Baal HaMor.
Right.
Presumably, I presume that the answer is the difference is one is bari.
Shouldn't it be about whether she can make the taina that she to back up her or to appeal to her cheskas betula or the cheskas betula? Because isn't that all the Baal HaMor talks about? That the fact, meaning, or for Rabban Gamliel at least, that Beit Din is not like establishing a new cheskas.
Rabban Gamliel has cheskas agof.
Right, but it's not that she has chaskal aguf. Everyone has chaskal aguf. It's that they can appeal, they can say, Beitin can make a claim.
That's the whole point. That's the reason why the Balamor is unhappy about the Balamor. The Balamor sounds like he's saying Rabbi Yeshua doesn't believe in chaskal aguf.
But for Rabbi Gamliel, he doesn't say he says that so it's not about the fact that she does or doesn't have a chazak of the gufa according to the Balamor. It's about the fact that we can or can't make the taina appealing to the chazak of the gufa.
No, but that's because by the taina's besulin the chazak has been undermined. Because she's not, because we know she wasn't the besula, because there's no blood on the sheet.
It's about the fact that we don't.
But it's
that we can't make a taina. Beitin can't make a taina bari about whether. Meaning that it's not that the fact that the chazaka was undermined is the fact that our taina would be undermined by the lack of a blood on the sheet.
Our taina that we would make for is not undermined by lack of blood on the sheet. It would explain the lack of blood on the sheet.
We can't know what's happening. It's Dilma Mukad Eitz with Dilma Mishar Astana.
No, I agree that that's the taina. But Rabban Gamliel would have, the Baal HaMor implies that had the taina been plausible, not just possible, but I would say not plausible, had it been likely, reasonable, then he would have said it even though it's a taina shema because of the cheskas aguf. The Baal HaMor says that Rabbi Gamliel would have said the only reason why the dilma is rejected is not because it's a dilma. It's rejected because it's lo shchicha. You can't make a maybe if taina, you know,
right,
on something that's implausible.
Right, but that's not the fact that's a reyta in the taina that they're making. That's not a reyta on the chazaka.
The reyta on the chazaka is there independently. The reyta on the chazaka is there because she's not a besula. When she was expected to be a besula, but when she says mukaseitz ani tachtachon, when she says that the reyta stand nasty, so her taina's bury there is enough to compensate for the reyta on the chazaka.
Right, but it's not. But
even though it's an unlikely taina.
In every case, the chazaka de gufa is ruined. But in this case, the reason that she can't claim anything according to the Baal HaMor, according to Rabban Gamliel, is because our own taina would be.
Agreed.
Okay, so it's not about the chazaka or anything.
The reason why the taina shema doesn't work is because the chazaka was undermined. Whereas
no, the taina shema doesn't work because we can't make a claim for something that we don't know. That's lo shchicha.
I'm not sure what we're arguing about. Then.
I'm just saying I don't think the Baal HaMor and the Ramban are necessarily talking on the same level. The
so again,
the taina and the Baal
HaMor. Let's see for the Baal HaMor. For the Baal HaMor, Rabban Gamliel believes in the cheskas aguf. Thus, the expectation is that she is a psula. The expectation is that she is a psula when she gets raped. She's a psula when she gets married, psula when she gets raped. So the Baal HaMor says that when she's a psula when she gets married, and yeshla times psula means she loses. And the reason she loses is because we know she wasn't a psula, and we can't be towing on her behalf of Taina Shema. Why? No, we can't be towing this Taina Shema. A Taina Shema the Loshricha.
But that, meaning.
A Pikachas.
The counterpart to that is that she doesn't have a Chazkat Aguf and the Taina just doesn't matter.
So that's, you understand what I'm going to say. Rabbi Yeshua says that she has no Chazkat Aguf, which means she's not expected to be a Psula. Which means that you can't complain when you find out she's not a psula.
So according to the Baal HaMor, it's not they're not having like a good machloket.
They're arguing about whether there is such a thing as cheskas aguf.
But according to Rabban Gamliel, it's not about the cheskas aguf. It's about the taina, meaning that whether the taina is applicable or not. And according to Rabbi Yeshua, it's about whether.
No, but here's the point. The point he's making is if Rabban Gamliel didn't believe in the cheskas aguf, then he wouldn't award a cheresh as a knas. And he wouldn't say that you have taina besulim against her. It's only because he believes that that's cheskas aguf that matters, that she's born as a besula, and we work with the assumption that she remains a besula, that's a legally operative principle. Therefore, when you get married to her and she didn't say anything, that's grounds for metatos. When you rape her, we assume that she was a besula. Rabbi Yeshua, even though she says nothing, she's a cheresha, she can't say anything. Whereas for Rabbi Yeshua, that the fact that she's born a besula has no impact on the way we look at her now. In the absence of any taina, thus, if you have a case of a girl who is raped and she's a chayresha and she can't say besula, you see, we can't be towing on her behalf.
But it doesn't matter whether we can or can't be towing. She doesn't have a chazaka. Meaning, it's not.
No, if she, because remember, for Rabbi Yeshua, you have to be able to, Rabbi Yeshua has to admit that if you rape a girl, unless he's going to say that whenever the Boel doesn't, and we went through this, if you, unless you're going to say that the woman has the manus to say Besula Yisi, then the whole pasuk falls apart for Rabbi Yeshua. Because any time a rapist could just say she wasn't the Besula. And if, you know, if the rapist, if we're relying upon the rapist's hodah that she was a psula, Munda b'knas is pater. So the only case you're ever going to have is where a woman was checked out, you know, by a doctor and determined that she was a psula, and then, without being out of our eyeshot, he dragged, the guy drags her into him and rapes her. That's what you're going to say the pasuk's talking about when we know vada she was a psula. Again, according to the Balamor for Rabbi Yeshua, I understand why you tell me Chereshes doesn't have can get Knas. Because she's not, she doesn't have a Cheskas Pesulim. Because Cheskas Pesulim doesn't mean anything. Chazaka Degufa doesn't matter. So I'm asking you, what's the difference between that and when he rapes a Pikachas? And the difference is, when he rapes a Chereshes, she says nothing. When he rapes a Pikachas, as Jacob said, she says, Besulah, you see. So the question is for Rabbi Yeshua, how is that different? Does Rabbi Yeshua believe her? Obviously he must believe her, right? Otherwise there is no din of knas anymore.
So you're saying it is about the taina?
Yes.
Everything's about the taina.
It has to be. What's the difference for Rabbi Yeshua where a man who marries a woman, becheskas besula, pikachas, and she's not a besula, and she says, because misher estani nanasti, where she gets no, where she's not nemenis, versus a besula who you rape, a pikachas, and she says, besula yisi. If Rabbi Yeshua doesn't believe in Cheskas Haguf, then why does he believe her in one case? What's the difference between the two cases? The answer is that in one case, the Cheskas Haguf has been undermined. Namely, when she was expected to be a Psula and she's clearly not a Psula. But that's not true by rape. By rape, we don't know that she wasn't a Psula. So Rabbi Yeshua, you have a tainus bari in both cases. For Rabbi Yeshua, what you need in order to believe her is, number one, a tainus bari, and number two, that the chazaka, the gufa, was never undermined.
Okay.
So in the end, it's not that the Rabbi Yeshua completely rejects the chazaka.
Well, in other words, I don't know what else the Baal HaMor is going to say. Right? In other words, the Baal HaMor says Rabbi Yeshua is a chazaka, the gufa, but he does. He does, because otherwise, why does the pikachas get a knas? Unless you say to me, because it's Tainas Bari, but a Tainas Bari by Tainas Pesulim doesn't help her. Right? There we know she wasn't the Pesula. Okay. So, yes, it's difficult, but I think once you understand the difficulty in the Baal HaMor, if there's no Chazaka de Gufa, then you've got to explain what's going on by the rape case of a Pikachas.
That was my point. I don't think that you should say there's no Chazaka de Gufa. There's no
Taina
of a
Chazaka Ketula. Does she have a Cheskas Pesula, this Pikachas who was raped? You know, is that necessary? Is that necessary?
That only matters in as much as she can appeal to that Chazaka when she gets raped.
What does that mean?
I mean that they're not.
She has to say, I was a Pesula.
They're not arguing really about the Chazaka, they're arguing about the Taina afterwards. Rabbi Gamliel says that we do believe them, and Rabbi Yeshua says that we don't believe them.
But Rabbi Yeshua does believe her when she's a pikachas. That's
right. But in the case of chereshes, yeah.
Agreed. But I want to know what's the difference between chereshes and pikachas. So the answer is one is a tainus bari and one is a tainus shema, right? But now come back to Rabbi Yeshua. A tainus bari can't be enough to make her win because he doesn't believe her by tainus pesulim. So what's the difference between raping a pikachas versus marrying a pikachas and finding out she's not a besula based upon the sheet? Why in but one case she says besula yisi, and the other case she says I was a besula but I was raped after Averson? Why do we believe her one case and not in the other? So now on to the Ramban. And Danny, you want to give it another shot? I think you were reading. So let's start again from the beginning of the Ramban. Amar HaKosev.
Amar HaKosev, Ein Zenachon, Del Rabbi Yehoshua Gufei, Itle Chazaka de Gufa. Kida Amrinan Perek HaMadir, Kilo Azar Rabbi Yehoshua Batar Chazaka de Gufa, Hani Milei, Heicha de Ika Chazaka de Mamona. Heicha de Laika Chazaka de Mamona, Azar Rabbi Yehoshua Batar Chazaka de Gufa.
So he just quotes the Gemara straight out. No questions about that. A kol shekein hacha. And now you can explain what does that mean?
So I can explain that they're both working in favor of the husband. That the tainas, in the case of tainas b'suim, it would be working in the husband's favor, but we can't obviously add the chazaka de mamona. And he also
right. So this is the case. This is the case of chereshes, where Rabbi Yeshua says ein la tainas b'suim, which means what? The husband has to pay her a ksuba, whatever he wrote. Why? Because she didn't deceive him. So the Ramban says, firstly, the chazaka de mamona belongs to the husband, all the mamon. Secondly, there was a cheskes haguf that she was a besula, and therefore, both the chazaka de gufa and the chazaka de mamona work in the husband's favor, because we know she wasn't the besula when they actually got when they had bir rishon. We know the chazaka has been that she wasn't the besula because the sheet. So now. And so, in terms of determining whether he should even have to pay anything for the ksuba, number one, he's mochzak on the mamon, and number two, the chazaka de gufa, that she was a besula when she was born, is now working against her. Now that we know that she's not a besula, she wasn't a besula, that chazaka de gufa works against her. Had she had no chazaka de gufa, we would have said, hey buddy, why did you assume she was a besula? Then now that she does have a chazaka, the cheskas besula, and we know she's not a besula for whatever reason on the night of Nisuin, so now we're left with the question: well, that both of those bolster the husband's case to hold on to all the money and pay her zero.
He's claiming zinsa, right?
Either that, or he could be claiming that shizinsa kodem erisin, and
in that case, the chazaka gufa works in her. If she's claiming she has tina and nasty, the chazaka works in her favor.
No, but if it's the, I don't. I, so yes, but let me put it to you this way: the whole point of Rabbi Yeshua was there are two aspects of her chazaka de gufa. On the one hand, it creates a presumption that until the last possible moment she was a psula. On the other hand, it creates a presumption that up until the last possible moment she was a psula. In other words, on the one hand, it suggests that the loss of the basulum happened as late as possible. But on the other hand, it also means, I informed that was not a good choice in that case, it also means that he was entitled to assume that she would be a basula. So in a regular case, Rabbi Yeshua pits the, well, I guess it's not any different, is it different than a regular case? You want to say... In every case, Rabbi Yeshua has ches chazaka de mamona, and the cheskas besulim, isn't true in every case? The cheskas besulim of the woman creates the presumption that she is a besula, or no?
This is really a first pair of questions, so you like really have to look at the sugyos. You know,
I think it's going to... I saw the sugyas already. I mean, maybe not as well as I would like, but on Daf Yudal, I don't think it's going to help. You understand what's bothering me?
Not entirely.
I'm sorry. In other words, the Ramban is claiming that, the way I understood the Ramban, unless I'm wrong, is that in a case of a chereshes for Rabbi Yeshua, where we say ein latanis besulim, we should be able to say yesh latanis besulim, and the husband should be able to mafsit her the entire ksuba. Why? Because he should have two things working in his favor. Number one is a chazaka de mamona. Number two, there's also the cheskas haguf implied that she should have been a besula. Right? That's what the Ramban said.
Apparently.
So my, and therefore both things are working in his favor here. But I'm asking a general question. Whenever a man marries a besula, with the way the Gemara presents it, Rabbi Yeshua doesn't believe that the chazaka de mamona can be overridden by the chazaka de gufa, right? When there's a chazaka de mamona, it wins out over the chazaka de gufa. But isn't every case, if I'm reading the Ramban correctly, isn't every case of a tainas besulim a case in which there is a chazaka de gufa also working for the husband? It was for the very same reason that he's the right to claim to have been deceived by the girl, that she should have been a besula, and he was right for thinking that, and it turns out she's not a besula. That's true by a regular woman as well.
Is that the Svara for Rabbi Yeshua generally? Could that be for the Ramban? Could that be the Svara?
You mean offsetting chazakos and you're left with chazaka de mamona?
Exactly not offsetting chazakos. The fact that you've got two chazakos for
Kuntos. Well, no, I'm sorry. I meant the chazaka de gufa offsets. It creates, in other words, it creates the reason why he has a right to have a taina against her. It also suggests that maybe she was in the right, that it only happened later. And then it doesn't work. So, is this what the Ramban means? I'm sure it's what he means, because it can't mean anything else.
It has to be what he means, because otherwise it doesn't make any sense. But unless he's like, so is he doing differently here? Because in that case, every single
Basulin case that
unless, like, unless that just meaning Rabbi Yeshua ordinarily just says only be on a chayim. So why is he only be on a chayim for the Ramban? Is it because he thinks that the chazaka d'gufa is working for the husband every time?
I don't think so. He makes it sound
because otherwise there'd be no halakas the machlokas around Amiel would make any sense.
Right. So it's Yaakov, what were you going to say?
He could just be generally talking about all cases in the Torah. I mean, he does quote Parakalati, which isn't that all cases of.
No, that's not. That's the case. There has nothing to do with the Chazaka the Gufa
no,
there.
But that's just general. It's about selling the meat, isn't it?
No, the Chazaka the Gufa there that Yeshua accepts is Taras, that you were Tahar. Right,
but couldn't he be talking about it in general, though? Meaning, all he has to say is that Rabbi Yeshua does have the concept of chazaka d'gufa.
No, I know, but he's saying, v'kol shekein hacha b'tainas besulim de'ikatarti chazaka d'mamona v'chazaka d'gufa.
Well, a non-contradictory chazaka d'gufa. She can't come and say anything against it. In the case of Chereshet, she can. There's no way that a chazaka d'gufa could be overturned in her favor unless Beit Din gets involved, which Rabbi Yeshua doesn't accept.
One sec. Again, I still don't understand why every time it's Basulim is that way. Everyone. So I have a sense that it stems from the following. When we say, normally, Ein Latanas Basulim doesn't mean that she wins the argument. Ein Latanas Basulim means he doesn't even have a question. I know this is.
She was not here.
Yeah. I'm being sick. Hi.
So how does that work out here? How's that playing out?
No, let me say this. There are two. No. I don't mean it's not the same thing. Stop it. In Latinus Basulim, there are two ways for a woman to win her case against her husband who's claiming fraud.
For
anyone. I don't care right now for whom. One way is by coming up with a story to explain how things came to be. That wasn't her fault. It was his loss. The other way is to claim that there was no fraud, meaning you've discerned the reality correctly, but you weren't entitled to assume otherwise. Right? In other words, one way, you find she's not a besula, and claims that she committed adultery. And she says, it's not true. It's true I'm not a besula, but I was raped. The other one says that I discovered you're not a besula, and I assume that you were, let's say, mizana. And her answer is, yeah, it's true, but you had no business assuming that. You knew I wasn't a besula one way or the other. You had no right to assume I was a besula. So that, now, when we say ein latanis besulim, the Baal Hamor means this latter kind. He has no expectation that she is a besula. He has no right to taina. When we've been talking about yesh latanis, now, achayresh is correct. When we've been talking about yesh latanis besulim, when we say he has taina besulim, but if she comes with a counterclaim to explain why things are that she might be believed, so that's the case where we spoke about Rabbi Yoshua says that if Rabbi Gamliel says she's believed because there was a chazaka in the gufa, that she was a besula until the last possible moment. There's a chazaka de mamona that he possesses. Rabbi Yeshua says the chazaka de gufa does not override the chazaka de mamona. Rabbi Gamliel says it does. But in that case, remember, it's not shayach to say that he has a chazaka de gufa working on his side, namely that he expected her to be a besula. Why? Because that point is not under contention. She agrees. She agrees that he expected her to be a besula. She also agrees that she wasn't the besula when the night of Nisuin came. What she is simply stating is that granted you had a right to expect me, but nonetheless, I was raped after we got married. I was raped after we got married. And therefore, his assumption that she would be a besula coming to the marriage is not being challenged in any way. It's not haracha, the fact that she was assumed to be a besula, and his right to assume that is being enforced by, is being reinforced by the fact that she was presumed to be a besula, so he had a right to assume that. Nobody's challenging that. That's taken as a given. Now all that's being questioned is, now all that we're analyzing, not whether he had a right to expect it. Granted that. What we're challenging now is when that happened. There, the Cheskas Besula works in her favor because status quo remains until you know it changes. And the Chazaka Demona works in his favor. You can't say that he has on his side also the Chazaka that she was supposed to be a Besula. That's not being challenged. That point has been conceded. It's irrelevant because that's stipulated. We know she was supposed to be a Besula. Now things went wrong and we're trying to determine when they went wrong. Chazaka the Mamona is his, the Chazaka the Gufa is hers. But when the Baal HaMor says, that Echireshes has no Tainas Besulim, so at this particular point, what we are saying is that did he or did he not have a right, and we're going to make him pay Aksuba. The question we're analyzing now is not whether or not she started out life as a Besula. That's not the question we're asking. We're asking is, on the assumption that she might not have been a Besula, is he obligated to pay her Aksuba or not? Now, number one, and the question is, was he entitled to assume that way? So number one, he has the Chazaka de Mamona. The question is how relevant that is. But number two, if she was Becheskas Besula when she was born, then he should have a right to assume that. In this particular case, where what we're trying to determine, not whether she was a Besula or not, for the moment we're willing to grant she wasn't, but whether he had a right to assume that she was a Besula. And based upon that, should he have to pay out money? And maybe he didn't have a right. So number one, he has a chazak on the moment. That should automatically throw the case in his favor in one direction. It should lean the case in his favor, excuse me. Then he shouldn't have to pay because since he's the owner of the money, he has the right to decide. He should win on that. He says, I assume that she was going to be a basula. Number two, the fact that she's born as a basula would lead him to assume that she's going to be a basula. In a regular case of Tainus Besulim, the Chazaka de Gufa doesn't help the husband because we've stipulated he expected her to be a Besula. We're not contesting that part of the case, that when we married her, he was entitled to assume that way. Does that answer the question? I think that answers the question.
Later on in the Chazaka, he says that she gets to have all of the ketubah because he didn't need to...
Right.
You don't want to get into that?
No, just the answer is simple there. In other words, he wasn't entitled to assume that she was a psula, and yet he chose to write her a fancy ksuba anyway. So that's his stupidity.
But over here, shouldn't it be his stupidity to assume that she was a psula? Like, why should he ever assume that she was a psula? Because it should be consistent.
No. Because right now he's working within the Baal HaMor, Rabbi Yeshua, who claims there is no cheskas psula. For the Ramban, the assumption is later that firstly is that Rabbi Gamliel?
That's Rabbi Yeshua, I think.
Hold on.
Even Rabbi Yeshua.
Hold on, I gotta think this through a second. Hold on. The assumption there is that a Chereshes is likely to be a Mukas Eitz, right? That's how the Ramban is following Rashi.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And therefore, on that assumption, Rabban Gamliel says that that Rabbi Yeshua says, let's hold on that for a moment. Let's just try to clarify this one step at a time. Okay, so the bottom line so far is that the Ramban says, according to the Baal Hamor, whether or not the husband should have to pay a ksuba of whatever amount, or can he get away with saying, I assume that she was in the Basula and she's not, and I don't have to pay her anything. So the Ramban says that there are two things working in the husband's favor. Number one, he's mosak on the mamon, and the other thing is that she was born a basula. Presumably, she should have been a basula still when she got married, and she wasn't. And therefore, both things work in the husband's favor. Why would Rabbi Yeshua suggest that she even gets?
By chazaka de gufa, Ramban means just the fact that she was born.
Basula, and therefore he was entitled to assume, so it would seem, that when they got married she'd be a basula.
Okay, so the term chazaka de gufa.
No, it means the same thing all over here. Chazaka de gufa means, the question is, what force does the chazaka de gufa carry and what does it create?
And like, if you're claiming that like the chazaka de gufa works in his favor because we know like because she's not a basula when he has the right to expect that she's a basula. I just carry that further and say, well, the husband's claim is now that that she was no longer a basula before I married her. And she could claim, no, it happened
after. I agree. So you have
to. The chazaka de gufa would be more powerful working in her favor.
Well, no, but the chazaka de gufa, again, the issue we're trying to determine here by Ein Latinus Basulim at this stage is not whether or not. When she became Ois Basula. What we're trying to determine is whether or not he had a presumption, a right to presume that she was a Basula.
Yeah, I understand.
So like you might argue here, Danny, that it's a two against one. In a regular case of Tainus Basulim, the Chazaka de Gufa only works for her. Because the only issue at stake was when she became how did she become not a basula? Right. Now she has a taina. The chazaka de gufa, and she suggests it happened very late, and the chazaka de gufa supports that. She has the chazaka de mamona. But in this case, you may be right. She still has a chazaka de gufa that it happened the last possible moment. But on the other hand, because the question here is whether yesh la taina is basula, whether he has a right in the first place to assume that, whether you should have to pay her anything. So he has two things working in his favor. Number one is that he has a chazaka de mamona. Number two, he was entitled to assume that she was a basula.
As opposed to a normal case where.
So the Baal Hamor is claiming that he's not entitled.
The Baal Hamor,
He's asking the Baal Hamor. The Baal Hamor says he's not entitled to assume. He's not entitled to assume that she's a basula. So he has no claims in Mekach Talos whatsoever. And the Ramban says, what do you mean he's not entitled to assume she's a basula? Of course he's entitled to assume that she's a basula. Number one, he's got the chazaka de mamona. Number two, he has a chazaka de gufa that she was a basula. That's why he assumed it.
And that's for a chereshes.
That is for a chereshes,
so
correct.
How does that differ again from a standard case for Ramban?
The standard case, what's not under, nobody's challenging the question of whether or not he was entitled to assume that she was a basula. The case fundamentally hinges upon whether or not she can counterclaim Mishir Stani Nanasti. In that context, the fact that he had a right to assume that she was a psula is not material. We know that. She's stipulated. The question is, when did she lose her psulim?
Yes, that should be even worse for her.
No. So the point is, now when we're debating when she lost the psulim, the Chazaka de Gufa suggests that she lost at the last possible moment. The Chazaka de Mona says that he's entitled to keep the money and it happened early.
This isn't
a standard case. By a Chereshes, the first stage we have to get to before we talk about what is the din and how does it work is we have to talk about whether or not he was entitled to assume that she was a Basula.
Right, so that should work in her favor.
No.
Yeah.
No.
In Chaynes Basulim? Absolutely.
No, listen for a second. The question is, should he, on the assumption for the moment, that we don't believe her, or we're not towing for her, when she lost her basulim. Okay, assume for the moment that Rabbi Yeshua, for whatever reason, is not going to believe her. The question we're asking about now is not whether we believe or advance a taina on her behalf. The question we're asking is, did he have a right to expect that she was going to be a psula? If he had a right to expect that, then the next question is to determine when she was or wasn't a basula. That might be a cheskas aguf against a cheskas mamon.
If he didn't have the right to assume she was a basula,
then there's nothing to talk about.
Then he doesn't even have a claim.
Right. He has to pay. He has to
address that question beforehand.
Before getting to the sa.
Not on.
Agree? No, no. So listen. The question is, does he have a right? Does he have a right to claim, even claim mekatos, that she should have to pay nothing? Stipulate for the moment that she wasn't a basula. But does he have a right to claim, therefore, that he shouldn't have to pay anything? And the answer is that for Rabbi Yeshua, the Chazaka de Mamona and the Chazaka de Gufa both support him. He's Mosak on the Mamon, we understand. And the Chazaka de Gufa is that he had a right to presume she would be basula because women are born that way. Once you assume that Yeshlo, in effect, that you don't say Elatan is basulam, meaning Yesh Latan is Basulam, he's entitled to lodge a claim, he's entitled to expect she was a Basula. Now you have to ask, what's the din? But to decide whether or not he's even able to lodge a claim.
So, for Rabban Liel, you're talking about Rabban Liel right now. The Balma or his idea of Rabban
Liel? No, for. Because
for Rabbi Yeshua, Ingle Tan.
Correct. I guess you're right, for Rabban Liel.
So, I mean, so working
with. One second. Wait. No. Let's say this again. The first question you have to decide is whether or not he has a right to have tainus besulim. If he has no right to have tainus besulim, then if we are to determine what, no,
yeah.
Well, then, but then, if he has no right to have tainus besulim, then he has to pay the ksuba mana. Let's say. Don't forget that part. That's the whole crucial point here. Of a mana. He doesn't get the same mekach
tos.
And maybe he has to pay the full thing. He doesn't get the same mekach tos.
Yes, exactly.
If, however, you were to say, yesh lo tanis besulim, then all of a sudden the burden of proof would now be created, let's for Rabbi Yeshua, upon her.
In a standard case.
It'd be like a standard case of Tainus Yeshua, Tainus Basulim. It would be no different than a standard case where Rabbi Yeshua believes that the burden of proof falls upon the woman. But if you say, Ein lo Tainus Basulim, there's nothing to prove here. Our assumption was, duh, we assumed she wasn't a Basul in the first place. What's the surprise? Pay her whatever you promised her. So in a regular case where he's entitled, where we all stipulate, Danny, that he's entitled to assume that she's a basula, and he has grounds for mekach tos if she wasn't, in that case, the chazaka, the gufa works for her, the chazaka, the mamona works for him, and Rabbi Yeshua says chazaka, the mamona beats chazaka, the gufa. But now we're asking a different question first. We're asking a question of whether or not he's entitled to say, I was deceived. Assuming that she wasn't a basula. Assuming that she loses that case already, is he entitled to say, look, I expected you to be a Sula, you're not, stipulate that, you lose. Even if we accept that she's not a Sula for the moment. So is he entitled to lodge that claim in the first place? So the Baal HaMor said, no, he's not entitled to assume that she was going to be a Sula. He's got to pay whatever he brought in the Ksuba. The Ramban says, what are you talking about? Number one, he's Mukhsak on the Mamon. Number two, she was born as a Sula. And therefore, the chazaka de gufa works in his favor because he was entitled to assume she would be a basula. It works.
So in terms of the question of whether he has the right to come to court or not, the chazaka de gufa.
I see that you're bringing up Shua there. In order to assume that stipulating the facts that she really wasn't a basula is in a mekach tos.
Okay, so if.
You marry a girl who rumors have it's been sleeping around with half the guys in the dormitory. You're not entitled to assume that she's a psula. You're an idiot if you assume she's a psula. And if you say, if you walk into base the next day, you wrote whatever you wanted in the ksuba, she didn't say anything. I'm not even sure silence matters there. I mean, maybe she didn't hear the ksuba, she didn't read the ksuba. And you come into base and say, she's not a psula, and she looks at a moron, said, don't you know I've been sleeping around in the dorm? At least you knew that. You heard it. The rumors were all over Facebook. Right? He doesn't have a tainus basulim.
Okay.
Sorry, did I say something wrong in that?
Unfortunately,
everybody puts everything, I'm told them. Those who are on Facebook, people, your generation, not you necessarily, have an oversharing problem. Okay? It's a serious issue.
Regardless.
Okay. So bottom line. Bottom line is, she says to them, fool, why did you think I was a Basula? If, however, she was a Beis Yaakov girl.
Who does have Facebook?
And she went to Beis Yaakov elementary school and high school when she went to BJJ Yerushalayim. She came back, she went to Stern College. So you have every right to assume that she's a Basula.
Well,
what are you talking about? I'm sure it's happened plenty of times. Okay, maybe not that last part. Okay, fine. Okay, so she went to Tura. All right, fine. So the bottom line is you're entitled to assume that she's a Basula. If she's not a Basula, if you find that now, you engage in the trade. Okay. But but the first question is, if she were to look at him in the face and say, I'm not, I never was a Basula, you fool, is he entitled to say, well, you now deceive me or not? Because if he's not entitled to say, you deceive me, if he should have known, there's nothing, he pays whatever he wrote in the Ksuba because he knew or should have known when he wrote that Ksuba, whatever it says there. So the question is, should he have known and is he obligated to pay whatever he wrote in the Ksuba on the grounds that he knew or should have known? So the Ramban says that when you talk about that aspect, there are two things working in his favor. He's Moslik on the Mamon, and number one. Number two, she was born a Basula, she has a Chazaka de Gufa. Here, the Chazaka de Gufa supports him. Supports him, not in that she wasn't a Basula when they got married, supports him in saying that he's entitled to claim Mekatos if it turns out, in fact, she didn't tell him something. The next step is, assuming that he's entitled to lodge a claim, and he says X, even if she counterclaims that on Mishra Staninesti, do we believe her?
And that's where...
That's the separate... That's
the distinction between Chereshes and non-Chereshes lies?
No. If you get to that step by Chereshes, Danny,
yes.
If you get to that step by Chereshes, then Chereshes fundamentally is like a Pikachas. In other words, if the Chereshes, assuming we could even be toanim for the Chereshes, Rabbi Yoshua says, when you get to that stage of Ipikachas, what's the din? It's a Chazaka de Gufa against the Chazaka de Mamona. Chazaka de Mamona wins. The Chazaka de Gufa does not help the husband there at all. We've already stipulated that he was entitled to expect that she be a Basula.
So you have Chazaka de Gufa working...
Chazaka de Gufa does two things in the abstract. Number one...
It's two different things in the same case.
What's that?
Sounds like it's doing two different things.
It's not... No. Listen, it's not doing two things in the same case. Chazaka de Gufa does two things. Number one, it creates an assumption that she was a Basula until the last possible moment. We know she wasn't. Number two, it creates an entitlement on the husband's part in the absence of other knowledge to assume that she was a Basula. And if it turns out, should it turn out that she wasn't a Basula or that she can't prove that she was a Basula when the burden of proof is upon her... Then he wins.
So what's the Ramban's kasha on the Baal Or? Like it's just the Baal Or just holds the first thing, and Ramban's saying you should hold the second thing.
No, the point that Ramban is making is that if Rabbi Yoshua, in a case where it's Chazaka de Mamona against Chazaka de Gufa, first he says Rabbi Yoshua believes in Chazaka de Gufa. Don't say he doesn't believe in the Bechlal.
Which kind?
What?
Which kind?
The status quo, in the absence of any cheskas mamon, if we don't...
The fact that he's entitled to assume...
No. Okay. Right? It starts out by talking about that the status quo chazaka.
Okay.
Not his entitled to the status quo chazaka. So the Ramban says... But, now the Ramban says the following. That in the case where we're trying to determine whether the husband has a right to say, I was deceived, assuming that she really wasn't the Basula and she's in the wrong... on the facts on the ground. In other words, assuming that it wasn't Mishir Estani Nanasti, assuming that it wasn't the facts, assuming it happened before the Arison. So whether she knew what she was doing or not, if he was entitled to assume that she was a Basula in that case, she would lose. If we knew that she lost her Basula before the Arison. So the Ramban says, all we're trying to determine right now is, does he even, assuming the facts would play in his favor, namely that she wasn't the Basula in a way that's his loss, meaning after Arison. Assuming the facts would play in his favor, was he entitled to assume in the first place that she should be a Basula?
So he just switches his definition of Chazaka de Gufa in the middle of
It's the same the cheskas haguf does two things. But now he's focusing on the other aspect. He's saying once the cheskas haguf means something for Rabbi Yoshua in the abstract, then if you put the cheskas and a cheskas haguf can't be out of cheskas mamon for Rabbi Yoshua. If you take cheskas haguf now and put it on the side of the cheskas mamon, namely in trying to determine whether or not he has a right to lodge a claim at all, whether he has a right to expect that she'd been a basula and say, therefore, I shouldn't have to pay you anything. Well, guess what? The chazaka de gufa supports him there. The fact that she was born a basula and assumed thus to be a basula supports his right to up it. Supports his right to assume at the time that they had asked that she was a basula. No, it's a kash in the Balamor. Why would Rabbi Yoshua say Eila times Basulam and he has to pay her whatever he wrote in the Ksuba? Don't forget that last Nakuda. Eila times Basulam hurts the husband. He has to pay what he wrote in the Ksuba. And the Ramban says, according to the Balamor, why? He has the Chazaka de Mamona on that, whatever that money is, and he's got a Chazaka de Gufa. He was entitled to assume she should have been a Basula.
But I'm saying that's not a kash
The Ramban makes you can't deny. In other words, you're right. On some level, the second question is an outgrowth of the first question. Right, okay. How can anyone deny the fact that the woman is born as a basula? The Balamor presumably does not deny the existence of that fact. He doesn't deny the existence. I'm going to go back to what we spoke about earlier. And Ramban is not wrong. He can't deny the existence of a chazaka de gufa. Otherwise, why would you ever make a guy pay when he's ma'anis a woman? And if he's a bari, just because she's a bari, he says she wasn't a basula. She says I was. Very nice. He's musak on the mama. Unless you tell me because he's really a shema. So for Rabbi Yeshua, it doesn't matter. You know why it doesn't matter? What?
It's very good to hear.
Why doesn't it matter? Why can't that be the reason? The answer is because by a regular Tainus Basulim case, he's a Bari, she's a Bari, he's a Shema, he's Mosa de Mamona. Rabbi Yeshua says that the Chazaka de Mamona wins. So obviously, Rabbi Yeshua, the only reason why in a case where the man says, I raped you and you weren't a Basula, she says, you raped me and I was a Basula. The reason, presumably, she has to win has to be that the Cheskas Haguf works for her there. It can't be her Bari. And even if he's a Shema. Right? Because you have to think about what does Rabbi Yeshua say at the time. It's Pesulim case. Where it's Bari versus Shema, but he's got the Chazaka, the Mamona, he wins. The only thing that must be able to push her over the edge here is, in this case, the Cheskas Haguf is operating, and there's no Reisa in the Cheskas Haguf. By the case of Tainus Basulin, there's a race on the Cheskas Haguf. Why? Because there's no blood on the sheet. But when he rapes a girl, he doesn't rape her on top of a sheet. We have no knowledge that she wasn't the Basula other than his say-so. He still has a Chazaka de Mamona. He still might claim to be Bari, which might not be relevant. She claims to be Bari, but she's got a Chazaka de Gufa that was Lo Isra. The Balamor doesn't say that, but the Ramban is assuming he must be moded to that. How can you say otherwise? And I think that, by the way, is going to be part of the Ramban's next discussion. Let's move on in the Ramban. I know that you're still digesting, but I want to go through the Ramban. I want to try to finish the second half of the Ramban is pretty straightforward. We already seen it already. It just helps fill in the dots. I want to just get the next part just till he finishes attacking the Balamor, because I want you to have the chance seriously in morning theater tomorrow to sort of rethink the issue. I don't care that, I thought we'd be already, halfway through the rest of Shas, a couple days ago. I don't care if it takes another day or 2 days in Shir. I want this to be, for me and for you, I want it to be Baruch Yizor HaRakia. That's okay. So let's, for now we got to explain. This is what's so hard about this, is that only the Balamor is a totally different read of what the Gemara was saying here. What does the Gemara say? Firstly, the Gemara asked the Kasha, why does Rabbi Gamliel do a Taina Shema? I would have thought Rabbi Gamliel only does a Taina Zbari. And the Gemara says, no, Rabbi Gamaliel does a Tainas Bari because of Psach Pichalinen. What Taina? I'm sorry, they make a Taina Shema because of Psach Pichalinen. What Taina is the Gemara asking on here that Rabbi Gamaliel said you're towing? What's that? According to the Baal Hamor. Within Rabbi Gamaliel.
Taina for Knas.
Taina for Knas. We're not towing from Psulim, remember, according to Rabbi Gamaliel. Yesh la Tainas Psulim means she loses. Why does she lose? Because he is entitled to expect her to be a Bzula because of Chazak and the Gufa, and she can't lodge any Taina of Misherastani Nanasti or Mukasait, and we can't because she can't lodge any Taina. And why can't we do it on her behalf according to the Baal Hamor? Lo Shchichi. So when the Gemara says, according to the Baal Hamor, Rabbi Gamaliel says Taininan, but we didn't realize he would even Taina Shema, but in the end we do Taina Shema. That's the taina for the girl, the chereshes, who's raped. She can't say, what do we want her to say? Besula yisi. But she can't say anything. And Rabbi Gamaliel says, yesh la knas. Why? Because we're towing on her behalf, besula yisi. So the Gemara asks a question. Where does Rabbi Gamaliel say that we accept the taina when it's a taina's bari, but here it's a taina shema? And the answer is, psach pichalilim. We accept this taina shema. So then what it means, so what does the, now according to the Baal Hamor, what does that mean fundamentally about a woman who's raped? What does it mean?
That she has.
In order to her to win her knas in a rape case, what does she have to do?
Bring a taina.
She has to bring a taina that I was a basula. Now, that is not necessarily what we would have assumed.
You might have assumed that the chazkas of good works automatically.
Yeah, it's sort of like, until we know otherwise, she doesn't have to say anything. Right, she's becheskas besula. He rapes her. He has not a shred of evidence that chazaka was Isra. It's not like he's got a sheet and there's no blood on it. So basically, the only way for him should have to be if he brings Edom, she wasn't the besuma. His say-so should not matter at all. And if you're going to sit out, what is the alternative? Is to say, you require her tainas bari, which is what the Baal Hamor effectively is saying. The fact that he says ta'aninan, for Rabbi Gamaliel, means she needs a taina, besula yisi. So now let's read what the Ramban says.
Okay,
he says that diok of the Gemara doesn't work. Why not? Right, in other words, why is she ba'ulahi?
Because
there's no blood on the sheet. So that's why she needs a taina. Why? Because her chazaka is Isra.
So b'shvil chazkas gufa, however, because she has chazkas gufa, ne'emenes l'tom taina acheres l'ha'amid chazaka rishon. So chazaka, the first chazaka works to get her to the stage where she can make a taina to recreate her initial.
Right. In other words, because she had a chazaka of being a besula, that chazkas aguf alone is not enough when Isra has kasa, because you see she was the psula. But if she can save it, she can reconstruct it if need be, based upon a taina.
So it's the chazaka that gives her the ability to make that taina.
Correct.
If she didn't have the initial chazaka, she wouldn't have the ability.
Right. The burden of proof would be upon her. It wouldn't be enough to make a taina. However, no. Not e. He put e in there.
No. I have an emendation to E.
Yeah.
So I understand why. I have Ain.
The Mishnah Melech apparently has.
So I understood. We probably are going to arrive at the same interpretation. I understood Ain Chazaka the Gufa Moel. Now Moel is the wrong word. It shouldn't be necessary. No, it's simply it's not what's working for her. Right, I chazaka the gufa. Now by knas, let's read it. We'll read that way for the moment. I chazaka the moel harei besulahi. Right. In other words, by knas, the chazaka itself, if it works, it works completely. Why? Why does she need a taina?
Because
it was lo isra. There's no evidence that she wasn't the besula at the time when he had beer with her.
But the ain cheskasa usel sabesula kibarecha. Elin came to the if, like the Balam Or is saying, that all the chazaka does is gets you to the stage where you can make a tanya. The ikatarte.
Bari b'chazaka.
Yeah, there's another misplaced comment in Zohar. Chereshe zo lama yeshla. V'chi tainas beizdin barihi shenatziko samasaras v'sula.
Now you're gonna have to. He's got to explain this question, but he says, if the Baal HaMor is right, that the Cheskas Besulim is not there for, as this is Rabban Gamliel, by the Chereshes, by the Chereshes, and the only reason why, but this is a general question. The reason why, those say Isha, not just the Chereshes. Now, the only reason why a woman wins the case is because she's towing Tainas Bari, that Besula Hayisi. So he says by Chereshes, she can't Taina. Our Taina on her behalf is only a Taina Shema. And therefore, it shouldn't work at all. A Taina Shema should not work.
Because the only thing the Chazaka does is gives you the authority to make a
Taina Shema. A Taina Shema is not a Taina. Now, of course, you're going to ask the question, that's not really true. We have a principle of Psach Picha Le'ileg. Beisdin is sometimes, it does sometimes advance a Taina. They do sometimes advance a Taina. So Psach Picha Le'ileg, when we say Ta'aninan, by definition, that means Taina Shema. So how does it work? If you say Taina Shema is not a Taina, then how does it work? So the Ramban says, there's a view the Baal HaMor are right, that there's no cheskas, that she doesn't have a cheskas besulim here, and it's only the Taina's Bari that allows her to stand, that Besula Hayisi, so then it shouldn't work when she's a Chereshes. Rabbi Gamliel should not say that a Chereshes has Knas. Psach Pichal Ilem, a Taina Shema only works to repair a Chazaka or protect a Chazaka. So sometimes when a person might owe money but they have a claim to pot to themselves, we can say Tanin Anlay in certain cases, Psach Pichal Ilem. If you believe that the girl is a Chazaka de Gufa but it was Isra, then you can say, according to Rabban Gamliel, that Taina Shema might work. Now, as the Ramban himself will say, that's what Rashi's pshat. But if you believe that the Chazaka de Gufa doesn't work, that she needs to offer a Taina, then in other words, you don't believe that she has a Cheskas Aguf, then, if that's the case, a Taina Shema simply doesn't work at all.
What's a good example of another Taina?
For example, I'm going to say this not having gone and reminded myself and looked up in Shas. For example, Taninan Liyasme, Taninan Lalokeach, it's coming back to me. So there, for example, the fact that we don't allow a person to collect we nisei yisomim. So is a machlokes amorayim why? If I'm not mistaken, let me reconstruction. Rapapa says that priyas bachov mitzvah and yasme lab bnei me'av and mitzvah ninu. You can't force them to fill mitzvah of priyas bachov. However, Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei Rabbi Yoshua says that no, that there's a din of shibud. So why is it? And it's not that the yisomer are paying back the loan and doing a mitzvah of their father. And it's a loan that their father took out from assets that their father bequeathed to them. They don't have to pay. You never inherit a parent's debt. You never inherit debt. You only inherit debt to the extent that you inherit assets from the same person, and the assets might in some cases be needed to use to pay the debt. But if your father owes $1 million and dies, and he leaves you no property, you don't owe anything. But assuming that the father bequeathed property, so the din is that we don't allow Balei Chov to collect from the Yisomer. And the basis is that we're Tanina, we're afraid that maybe, Metal Talei Aspesei, that the father gave a Mashkon to the Malveh, And therefore, he's only entitled to collect the loan once he gives the mashko back. And what he's going to end up doing, since the Yisomim don't know, he's going to double collect. Now, the Yisomim don't know whether or not the father was aspesul metaltele, but he gave the malveh a pledge, metaltele or something that he could use as a guarantee if the lova didn't pay back the loan. So we're tainin on his behalf. In that case, it's a temporary taina.
But the taina is enforcing the chazaka and mamona that the Yisunim have.
Correct. They're muksak on the mamon.
That hasn't that chazaka been Israel by the claim of the...
No. The chazaka mamona by definition...
Israel as long as it's within your...
Right, country. Right. That's not...
I'm trying to think of like...
That's a case. It's not a good case of taninim because it's a temporary tain. It just pushes off until they become gedolim. Then they have to. Then I think they have to bring proof that they were mental tlayaspase. But you should have cases. We say taninim leyorish, taninim lokeach. I think mezuyach. We might tain and we might force the guy. For example, I think that's the case actually. Okay, I think that normally if I pull out a shtar against you. And you make any sort of claim that you paid back the money, that there was an account or claim, that there's another star, but you can't find it, you still have to pay me. There's only one time that you can offer, you lose. Now, if you admit that the star is proper, but there's another claim, you lose. And you can't tie to the star is mezuyef. If, you know, we don't require kiyam ashtar. We know where kiyam either. We spoke, right, didn't we come across kiyam, when we did kiyam stars last week? Didn't we talk about this? If, however, you're towing mezuyaf, then we force the baldin, the balashtar, to be mekayim the shtar to prove the witnesses' the signatures are valid. But if you're not towing, we're not. Then we don't say anything. But I think for a lokeach and yesomim who can tie the mezuyaf but toras vaday because they have no idea, so I think we're towing mezuyaf on their behalf, and you have to be mekayim the shtar. I think that's a case. Okay. Anyway, that might be, by the way, a better case. For you, in the sense that the cheskas mamon is vada there, because you don't really know whether the debt exists in the first place, right? The concern of metal tleyaspase is that you know the debt exists, but you're afraid that maybe he paid it off, right? So take those cases are better cases anyway for tanina. Those are certainly tanina cases. If the guy can't be mekayim the shtar in that case, he loses, only because of the tanina shema mezuyif that we lodge on behalf of the lokeach or the yorish. Okay. So that's what the Ramban says. The Ramban says that the Baal Amor's position makes no sense. For Rabban Gamliel, you should never let a Chereshes collect knas if you claim the Gemara's statement at the end makes no sense. It's not, in other words, the din of Rabban Gamliel could make sense. Because remember, the Baal Amor does say, here's the crucial point. The Baal Amor does say, Rabbi Gamliel believes in Chazaka Degufa, don't forget that. But the Ramban is claiming at the end that if, in other words, remember that for Rashi's Pshat, what does Taninon go on for Rabbi Gamliel? What case? Tanas Besulim. Everybody agrees that by Tainas Besulim, you need a Tainam. But for the Baal Amor, the way he constructs the Gemara, and he pushes Rabbi Gamliel to be the first Brisa, what is the taina going on? Knas. And therefore, Ramban says, hold on. Since when does Knas require taina on her behalf? And if you say it does, then for Rabban Gamliel, without a taina's bari, she shouldn't be able, the Chereshes shouldn't be able to get the Knas. And there is no taina's bari there because she can't taina, and we can't make a taina's bari on her behalf. So therefore, it must be what? That the Tanina of the Gemara later, from Gamliel, goes not on Tainas Knas, but on Tainas Besulim. The Taina that she has to lodge to explain, now that we know she's not a Besula, why is she entitled to collect the Ksuba? But that means that, remember, for the Ramban's Girsa, Danny, for the Ramban's Girsa, the first Brisa has only Knas. And if you're going to say that one is Rabban Gamliel, as the Baal Amor does, then you're stuck. Now, what could the Baal Amor perhaps respond to that, I suspect, as we're talking this out? He has no choice. Even if you have the Girsa of Tainas Besulim, it doesn't help you. Because remember, what is Yeshlan Tainas Besulim for Rabban Gamliel according to the Baal Amor? She loses.
Yes.
We're not Tanin on her behalf. Precisely because it's lo shchiche. The tainas that we could offer on her behalf, which is not absolute, the taininan of the Gemara, even if you have Rashi's girsa, must go on knas. Must go on knas. It's a good kasha the Ramban has. The Ramban was very smart.
I believe the term last year you used last year was crazy genius.
Super genius. Super genius. That's a Rav Schechter expression. He's a super genius. I don't know if anybody else uses it. I just know that expression because I always heard that expression. But is that a common expression? If people use the term super genius? Okay, so it's not. I mean, it's not. We don't label. Okay, so anyway. So the Ramban really was. I think he wrote the Machamas when he was 19.
No, they say that he wrote the Balmor.
He wrote the Balmor. Because Balmor wrote the Balmor when he was 19. That's what they say.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, the Balmor. Ramban wasn't 19.
No, because he was upset the Balmor was 19.
Well, but it was long. He's much younger than the Balmor. It's written years after, presumably.
Yeah, he thought he was
there. Okay, it doesn't really matter.
That's
but
like
that's
what they say about that. But actually, because he was upset that.
Oh. Anyway, but this is very whatever. We will perhaps chazer one more time very quickly tomorrow. I want to give you the chance to. I feel bad for those who are not here. If you see anybody, tell them to listen to the recording posted soon. But I'd like to very quickly go over that and then finish the Ramban, which just helps finish what he said about his in the Chidushim. It really, you know, it's each one is mashlim the other in this case, actually. And then we'll move on from there to the next Mishnah. Okay. Good? Very good.